also come to order. I believe they have one standing committee report to read in.
Mr. Speaker, committee number one, Judiciary, do the House refer to House Bill 51. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Alden, Bigby, Buchanan, Landon, Libno, Wilson, Robinson, Vaughn, White, signed Representative Landon, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Two bills are being re-referred from committees that they were referred to originally. House Bill 48 is being re-referred to Committee Number 4, Education, and House Bill 53 is being referred to Committee 8, Transportation. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, actually, Mr. President Mercer, if you want to take the advantage of what you just mentioned to me, that would be this would be a good time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, I'd like to
have privilege of the floor.
Thank you. I'm sorry. First of all, I'm honored to be speaking to you, the 50th legislature, and I'm honored to be a member of this party, this body. I'm sorry, this body. I'm here to introduce the group of young people that I just met today, but I know one of their members' fathers. I work with him. And this group of young people belongs to a group called Teen Pact. They are a group of young people who belong to a national organization that has been established to promote Christian leadership skills and principles in our youth. And I would just like to introduce them to you. They're up here. Organization has been in existence for 13 years, and this is our sixth Wyoming class. They're from all over Wyoming, and I'm really glad they could join us. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Mercer. Welcome to the House. Representative Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege to the floor.
You may please proceed.
You know, if you look straight out this way, you can see us standing over here just a little bit. Mr. Speaker, it's my pleasure this afternoon to introduce to the body members of the Leadership Cheyenne class this year. I've had the privilege of talking to them, and if the Leadership Cheyenne class would stand up, we'll give you a hand.
Thank you, Representative Way, for pointing that out, and welcome to the House of Representatives. Representative Way.
Thank you, Ms. Speaker. Just as a reminder, February is our month, and I think you all received this bulletin that was set out there. Remember, tomorrow morning, any of you that would like to get a free blood screening or cholesterol, that will be done, and there's a sign-up sheet for you to do that. So that's at 6:30 o'clock in the morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Miley. Mr. Minority Caucus Leader.
Mr. Chairman, may I have the privilege of the floor?
Certainly may.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to introduce two gentlemen from Sweetwater County. One lives in the Bedford community of Green River, and the other one lives in Rock Springs. We have Bob Saunders and Rick Lee, and they're here to attend the business day of the
Thank you, and welcome to the House. And I knew Mr. Saunders when he actually lived in God's country. Chairman Rosenberger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my great pleasure to introduce to you today. As you know, very seldom does anybody ever make it down here from Campbell County, but we do have some people here from Campbell County today. The Juilliard Leadership Institute is here, and if they could stand and be recognized, and they are led by their fearless leader, Vice President of First Interstate Bank, Mr. Dan Neal, who is my neighbor.
Thank you, and welcome to the House.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and to Representative Reiser, I too am proud to be here with this body and one of the two political parties that are represented here. Mr. Speaker, I move the House Resolves up into Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. House is resolved in the Committee of the Whole. Representative Miller.
Okay, Committee of the Whole, please come to order. The first bill for consideration is House Bill 9. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 9, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to workers' compensation for drug and alcohol testing.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
Representative Oz.
Mr. Chairman, House Board. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report and do so with a recommendation that House Bill 9 do pass, and I would like to turn over the reading of this bill to Representative Martin.
Representative Martin. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just seems like I was here yesterday during the same bill. But, Mr. Chairman, this bill is sponsored by the Joint Labor, Health, and Social Service Interim Committee. The Workers' Compensation Division is proposing to amend Law and Statute 27-14-201, which is the rates and classifications, rates surcharge, and the proposed amendment would be found in Section 11, which presently allows the division to grant a discount of up to 10% of the base rate for the employer classification of an employer if the employer complies with the safety training program that is approved by the division. The division's proposal is to add language to Section 0 to allow it to also grant a discount not to exceed 5% of the base rate for employment classification if the employer complies with the drug and alcohol testing program that would be approved by the division. The program is voluntary, but some of the reasons to implement a drug and alcohol testing discount program would be that testing at the workplace deters drug and alcohol abuse. Workers' compensation claims are reduced in frequency and severity. And a discount would offset costs of testing for the employer, and more businesses would be inclined to conduct testing. Mr. Chairman, at this time, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Representative Martin, would you like to move the bill?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would like to move the bill.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Representative Brandon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to take a minute and ask the body to consider a little different point of view on this proposal. Consider the point of view of whether or not this is a gross invasion of privacy. You know, there's no one here that doesn't want our Wyoming citizens to be healthy and to be enjoying their lives. To be enjoying the liberty of being your own master. This bill, though, it doesn't incentivize company policy. This invades individuals' personal freedom of choice. It addresses individuals' behavior, not just at work, but it overlaps into their private lives and their private choices. I may have an employee who sits on his porch and drinks beer all weekend. You know, I'm not concerned about that. That's his private life, and when he comes to work, if he interacts with the public and does his job in a good way, he is a team player with the rest of the employees and is getting along. And I don't have any business in testing him for what he does over the weekend. this proposal endangers that choice, and it's more or less, it seems to me like it's imposing our values on the individuals in the state of Wyoming who we advocate as being free people. There's always going to be, whenever you study any independent behavior among people, there's always going to be a bell curve that people fall into. And if you measure anything that has to do with human behavior, you can't correct that fringe on the bell curve no matter what you do. We'll be fighting this till the end of time. And all we're doing is denying employment to people who could be productive members of society and who can earn a living in Wyoming because of choices they make on the weekends. So I'd like the body to consider denying this, because unlike the proposal that's already written in law that's before it that has to do with provisions that the company makes during safety, this provision goes directly to individual choices made by employees, not company choices.
Representative Martin, Representative Jerry Osborne. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, even without this program, there are well over 100 businesses in Casper that have gone to this because it's the best thing for their business. It's the best thing for their other employees. And they are eager to get on the business of fighting meth. I just don't see this as any problem at all. It is voluntary entirely. And it will ultimately help lower the rates for workers' comp and revenue.
Representative Burks. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and certainly appreciate the comments from the good representative from Sheridan County. Is this body going to get a chance to see what this program looks like at all? Are we just going to write a carte blanche check to this division to make out this program? It's so amazing how many times that we balk at letting an agency do anything. But here we're just going to give them wide open latitude to write this policy. Like the good chairman of the judiciary said, not only is this an invasion of people's home lives indirectly, because there's so many things that are going to show up that really aren't work related. Can we please see the policy? Can we please see some sort of what's going to go on? Who's going to be tested? Are the bosses going to be tested?
Representative Lester. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I do appreciate the comments. And I'm going to rise in support of this bill. Drug and alcohol testing is intended to keep the workplace safe. Now, you would think, you know, the idea is not to get the people that are out on the weekend or out that evening having a beer or having their social drinks. It's the guys that come to work impaired. There's a big difference between having a drink the night before and coming to work and having some drinks on your way to work at work and taking drugs at work. This program is designed for them, not for the people that have, the social drinks and goes out in the evening and does it. Room for more than one of those people. And it's the people that come to work impaired and endanger the people at work. Thank you. Representative Bartle.
Mr. Chairman, I do wish that this was something we didn't have to deal with, but unfortunately, in our real world today, we do have a very serious problem out there. I guess I would suggest that somebody's got a way to make this bill better. You might want to consider amendments. But in my own work life, I voluntarily subjected myself to the test because it was important for us to get past these issues in our on-the-job for work safety. And I just think that the that we're going to have to bite the bullet to. As most of you know, I've been one who's taken a hard stand for liberty, so I would urge you to try to work with us on this one.
Representative Weber.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just wondering if there was any information available as to how many of the accidents, worker comp accidents, are the result of alcohol and drug abuse. Thank you.
Chairman Osborne.
I believe that the employment director said that 40% of the workforce accidents in Wyoming are related to drugs and alcohol. 40%.
Excuse me. Representative Martin. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I work for an industry that I fall under a DOT requirement that we're periodically tested. I don't feel that it's an infringement of my personal rights. What I do feel is that I want to be assured that when I go to work not only do I go home at night and see my family, but my employees also go home at night and see their family, not because of the fault of somebody that may have been on drugs or who may have been drunk. So I think it's important that we do have those protections. And as an earlier speaker said, you know, it's unfortunate that we had to go to that extent, but that's the way of life at this point in time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I want to remind everybody that we're not only encouraging a drug-free workplace, but transit to and from the workplace is in the public domain. We have people with impaired capabilities driving long distances, working 2-hour shifts, and a lot of methamphetamine users out there on our highways. So by encouraging drug-free workplace, we also encourage safer transit routes to and from the workplace for the safety of your family in favor of this bill.
Representative Comey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we started a discussion here about the rights or the freedoms, civil freedoms that we're talking about. I read this bill, and I reread it just now. Basically, what this bill says is that employers have the right to require, and they already have that right, but employers that choose a drug test can save 5% on their workers' compensation claims or payments simply because, as was stated, 40% of the accidents that occur in the workplace, be they somebody sticking their hand in a fry later or spilling something on themselves or in a restroom or out in the oil patch or the gas patch, where they're costing a lot of money. And that's what this is driven this bill, as I understand the bill. And I'd urge you to support the bill, and if you have some problems with it, bring amendments.
Representative Gibbs.
Mr. Chairman, well, I thank you, and I appreciate the chance to bring amendments, but how are we going to amend it if we can't see the plan? We need to see the plan to see who's going to be tested, what they're going to be tested for. I think much of the body assumes that this area is an exact science, and it's not an exact science. It'd be nice to see the plan.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question having been called, all those in favor of Representative Osborne's motion that the committee of the whole raise the report, it do so with the recommendation that bill number 9 do pass. Please say aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 9 has passed committee of the whole. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do not like to interrupt the committee of the whole, but I know some of these people will be leaving. I would like a privilege of the floor. up in the upper valley, and there's also a group from Laramie County. It's the junior leadership class from Laramie County. Would you make them welcome, please? You all stand. Thank you for coming to the People's House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 10, Green Clerical Redevelopment. House Bill 10, introduced by the Labor Committee, and Act relating to workers' compensation regarding amendments. You have heard the reading of the bill. What regard, Chairman Osborne?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report and use it as a recommendation that House Bill 10 do pass, Representative Werner will.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Bernard, there is a standing committee amendment. Would you like to move that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The amendment was to page. I move Amendment 1 to House Bill 10. And the amendment would be that on page 1, line 11, we would delete the numerals 27-14-106C II and insert 27-1-106C II. In other words, that changes to Section 1 instead of Section 14. And I move that amendment.
You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. The Standing Committee amendment number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Representative Bernard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 10 is another bill that comes to you from the Labor Committee, and it is on behalf of the Workers' Compensation Division. It is trying to do some housekeeping, some issues that have arisen in the recent past. And basically, there are three areas that this bill deals with. Number one is to require non-resident contractors who are working in the state of Wyoming to become, to have coverage under the Wyoming Workers' Compensation Act, or to be able to prove that they have similar coverage in their own state. The idea being to protect Wyoming workers who work for non-resident corporations. The second part of the bill is to create a more equitable penalty for businesses who file their workers' comp reports in a late manner. And this would be to reduce that from a straight $50 penalty to a percentage. The third aspect of the bill would be to create a penalty for not filing reports. Currently, if a business fails to file a title report, there is no penalty. This bill would try to encourage them to do that by creating a $100 penalty. In more particular detail, Mr. Chairman, these amendments are designed particularly to protect the Wyoming workers who are working for out-of-state corporations. And we know that with the problem that's going on, there are many corporations working in the state, and until now, they have not been required to participate in the Wyoming Workers' Compensation Program. And that has severe results for their employees, in that if they are hurt, they may not have coverage. And it is also unfair for the other companies that are paying in because these people don't have to pay
way to put some other companies at a competitive advantage. Another reason that this bill is important right now is that there was a Supreme Court decision that indicated that the Wyoming Workers' Compensation Division had to cover anyone that was working in Wyoming under a particular situation. And so this bill takes care of that Supreme Court decision. I assume you have the bill in before you. That is the brief summary of the bill. And I encourage you, a yes vote, and if there are any questions, myself and my colleagues would attempt to answer them at this time.
Majority for the leader race. Majority for the leader race, sorry.
Mr. Chairman, just a question that stems from the fiscal moot. If you look at it, it shows an anticipated revenue decrease of $82,000, $74,000, $66,000. And looking at the reasons for that is because on page 3, it shows that penalties were stricken and to me it indicates that penalties would be lessened under this bill. I was just wondering what the committee discussion was that would strike the $50 per month or whichever is greater language. What's the reason for that?
Representative Bernard, my understanding is, Mr. Chairman, that for smaller companies that might find that their report got there a little bit late, they may actually have a contribution in a month of only $20 or $30, and they could end up having to pay a $50 fine. And the division felt that was maybe a little bit punitive and that the fine should be more commensurate with what was actually due. Another thing that they mentioned, too, was that for very large companies, they often found it more less expensive to pay the $50 fine than the 2%, and therefore they would neglect to file their reports on time. So I think that was the understanding.
Representative Reese.
Mr. Chairman, it says, part of the stricken language says whichever amount is greater. So I don't quite understand the last part of that answer. As far as the first part goes, was it the Workers' Compensation Commission then that asked for this change to strike the language saying $50 per month or whichever is greater?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bernard, it was the Workers' Compensation Commission that I confused this particular one with another one of the bills that we've dealt with as far as the or greater than, and I apologize for that. But it was the division that tried to bring some equity to the smaller corporations when they filed their reports.
Representative Bernard.
Mr. Chairman, reading this bill myself, I look at the 2%, the change to the 2%, and then I guess before it wasn't in statutes or something for the penalty. What was that, $100? So do those two kind of offset one another maybe, or I guess that's my question.
Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding that those two items deal with different things. One deals with the payment, which there's a 2% penalty for submitting their monthly payment that's due. The $100 fine is a penalty for failing to file their report. And so they're two different things, and therefore two different amendments.
I guess I didn't quite understand that. I realize they were two different things, but they really aren't. Because one deals with a company being late with a payment, and then the other one is a penalty, for, am I reading that right, for being late with a payment?
Chairman,
it's putting in the statutes or something, maybe?
Mr. Chairman, the fiscal
it says that for 2007, the anticipated revenue increase is $270,000, and the anticipated revenue decrease is $82,000. So I presume you add those two to get the net effect of the bill.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Osborne's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it does so with the recommendation that Bill Number 10 do pass. Please say aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 10 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for consideration is House Bill 37. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 37, introduced by the Labor Committee, and acting aid to workers' compensation regarding fund investment.
Chairman Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee authorizes to report, do so with a positive recommendation, and the recommendation that Bill Number 37 be passed. There is a standing committee amendment, and Representative Burgeon will present that along with the bill.
Mr. Chairman. Representative Burgeon. Mr. Chairman, I would at this time move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 37. And I very much believe that's a standing committee amendment. Yes, it is. So moved. I apologize. I'd like to give a brief description of what that amendment is. On page 2, line 6, we strike the word elect, and we add the phrase direct the state treasurer. This amendment was brought to us by the Labor Department. And just a very quick description of the bill. This is, again, an effort to improve the rate of return on the workmen's compensation pool by allowing for investments up to 35% in equities. As of the projections were over a 10-year period for a return of about 5%, and actuality, as of June of last year, they saw, I believe, was 4%. We're hoping to be able to push that up closer into the 7% range. In the PMTF, they're allowed to invest up to 50%, and we're taking a bit more conservative approach at the 45. We do have a 2005 opinion by the Attorney General that seems to support this. I would ask your favorable support. You've heard the motion on the standing committee amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The standing committee amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Representative Purple. I think I've said about all I need to say about the bill. It's very simple. It's a good bill. It's only intended just to hopefully help increase the return on the pool, and hopefully long term it might reduce the premiums. With that, I ask your favorable support on the bill.
Any further discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Representative Osborne's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 37 be passed. Please say aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 37 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for consideration
is
House Joint Resolution 4, Chairman Felt. The meeting clerk will read the bill, excuse me. House Joint Resolution Number 4, introduced by the Appropriations Committee. The joint resolution relating to the Wyoming Constitution specifying that all monies deposited in the current Wyoming Federal Trust Fund are invalid. Chairman Felt.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the House writes a report to do so with a due pass motion on House Joint Resolution Number 4. Mr. Chairman, what this does is just make sure that all money that the legislature puts in legislatively or appropriates in the budget into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund will stay in the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. A year or so ago, we had a Attorney General's opinion that said that that money that the legislature put in could be taken out by the legislature. The money that we put in addition to the 1.5% constitutional flow, I believe, should stay in the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. The adoption of this amendment would clarify that all monies deposited in the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund are inviolate. And that's the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Representative Phelps' motion that when the Committee of the Whole asks to report to do so with a recommendation that House Joint Resolution 4 do pass, please say aye. Those opposed, no. House Joint Resolution 4 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for consideration is House Bill 32. The meeting clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 32, introduced by the Trial Committee, an act relating to game and fish regarding electronic licensing.
Representative Chambers.
Mr. Chairman, your committee number 6, Tribal Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a recommendation. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 32, Game and Fish, electronic licensing, do pass. And with that, I'll turn over the explanation of the bill to Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this bill was recently considered on introduction favorably. It has nearly universal appeal amongst all factions, game and fish, department personnel, hunters and anglers, and what we call LSA's licensed selling agents. The essence of the bill appears on page 3, and it enables three things that they need in order to run an electronic licensing program. Number one, it permits the department to enter into agreements with the state treasurer to establish electronic funds transfer systems. Number two, it permits licensed selling agents to authorize an electronic funds transfer to a collection account, and to be set up according to rule and regulation. And number three, it allows them to charge the licensed selling agent an additional fee of not more than $30 for each non-sufficient funds debit to their account. It also enables the department to enact such rules and regulations as may be necessary. This has, as I say, almost universal approval. The department did travel around the state and met with the licensed selling agents. They conducted, I think, 8 meetings and had 113 people that attended those meetings, including 72 licensed selling agents. Of those, 62 said that yes, they probably, or yes, definitely they would use the system. 18 said probably they will. 2 said probably not. 1 said definitely would not. And 10 said they didn't know. When they were asked to license selling
unions were asked to list the benefits that they saw from this system. Their highest priority was reduction in paperwork. The second priority was simplicity in the system and the speed that they could issue licenses. The third was the convenience of financial automation and reporting. The fourth was the ability to offer their customers more services to encourage them to visit the businesses. And fifth then was equipment size. Now the one concern that accompanied this bill last time was some concern that licenses were going to be sold over the internet. This bill now backs down from that position and commits the department to only two kinds of sales over the internet. Those would be preference points and limited quota licenses. Neither of them, wait a minute, I'm not sure I'm right on that. I know it's limited quota licenses, which cannot be sold over the internet. So those are the backwards. Am I not backwards here? All right. There are two things that they had concern about. One was the sale of preference points. And the department can do that because they're not available any other way except over the internet. The other is limited quota licenses, which the department has to sell. Now, the general licenses the department has committed they will not sell over the internet. That protects the local agents, and so they are in the same position that they were in before. When we look at this bill, it's the big picture is they write about 708,000 licenses a year, and they handwrite every one of those. They handwrite a ledger. They handwrite all the records of that. This will eliminate that. It will give the agents the ability to sell licenses much easier and quicker and more efficiently, and it's a much more professional-looking system. It's what you call a point-of-sale system. It will allow direct transmission of the funds to the state treasurer in the same way that sales tax is currently collected. It will shorten the time that it takes to buy a license, and if an individual has several different licenses or several different licensing information, they can all go on one sheet of paper. As I said, the department only intends to issue two items over the internet. One is preference points, which are not available from license-selling agents now, and the other is harvest information permits, a federal requirement that's been available over the internet for years. Other than that, there's not going to be any internet activity that would hamper or decrease the activity that the license-selling agents presently enjoy. So it seems like a win-win from every point of view. It's a very professional system. Only two states still use the system that we have, California and Wyoming. And if we're in that smaller group of Californians, you know, we ought to be doing something. Anyways, it tells us that. So this will get us caught up with our neighboring states, Montana, Colorado, and enable us to have the same kind of professional system that they have. So I recommend passage. Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for any questions.
Representative McCormick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good representative from Albany County, maybe you can answer this question. Is there a drop-dead clause in this thing? Otherwise, this must be done by a certain time, or would it drag on and some people would do it and some places wouldn't do it?
Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding that a paper system could still be used by someone if they were dead set on doing it. However, when you look at the results here, and we only have one out of 113 people that attended these eight different meetings. Only one said they definitely wouldn't use it. I just don't anticipate that that's what's going to happen. The department's going to make that available. The convenience is going to overtake any reluctance so quickly that I think that the thing will be almost instantly accepted.
Representative Houston.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question I have on this the representative from District 14 is that we have a system throughout the state where licenses can be purchased in various corners of the state, in the center of the state, because we have licensing dispensing agents. intent of the bill, I fully understand, but the question I have is, will we have a shrinking of these because we're going into the electronic mode here, and this, I don't mean this to be derogatory, but will we then have to travel, let's say, from County A to County B to purchase these licenses because we've had a dramatic shrinkage effect that took place if we implement this?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think the answer to that, nobody can predict for sure, but I think the answer to that, based on the data we have here, is that there's not going to be a shrinkage in the number of agents or the locations where they can be purchased. I see that because these agents, in the meetings that the Game and Fish conducted, readily accepted this system, this point-of-sale system, and with the convenience it's going to provide. If anything, one could argue that it may increase the number of points of sale and the convenience to the consumer in terms of having more points of sale, more places where it can be purchased, and having to travel even less. So there's nothing in this data that indicates that it's going to inconvenience the public by either decreasing the number of points of sale or increasing the distance they're going to have to travel in order to purchase a license.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I have a legitimate question here, either for the floor manager or possibly the committee chairman. I have in my hand a license, and on this license,
in this place here, are two what are called check boxes. Those are for donations, ones to access yes donation. The other is for search and rescue donation. Is that provided for, the donation to these two check boxes, is that provided for in this electronic transfer?
Representative Brown?
Mr. Chairman, I'm getting a frantic gesture from my fellow representative from Albany County that, yes, those will be available. And I can't believe it wouldn't be, because it's just the intent of this is to make an electronic point-of-sale system that exactly duplicates the paper system and just automates it.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking at the fiscal impact here, which is relatively minor and positive for that matter. But points of sale system are rather expensive. I'm wondering who foots the bill for that and how much those cost.
Chairman Chambers.
Mr. Chairman, all funding for this proposal comes from the Game and Fish Department funding.
Representative Robinson.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question that came to me from a really avid hunter who hunts in multiple states, and some of those states do have electronic systems. And one of the problems that has occurred is the system has gone down, and there is no place to get a license when that happens. And I'm wondering if there's some provision in there for backup, because some hunters have a long way to, or travel a long distance even within the state to hunt, and if they can't get a license, it makes it a little tough.
Mr. Chairman, all I can say in answer to that is that our Game and Fish Department has historically been very dependable and very diligent in everything that they do, and I can't think of a system in the past that they've implemented that hasn't worked well. And this has been in the planning stage for a long time. They've looked at the equipment. They've gone through this and through this. And, of course, servers and all that are improving our system here, and the capital doesn't go down very seldom. And I can't say their system will never go down, but just based on the integrity of that department, I don't think that's a concern.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We heard the word just a minute ago about habit. Hunters, fishermen, and all of this. One of the things we did here also this morning in our committee meeting was the applications, and I believe it was just for elk. The new applications for this year, based off from last year, is up 5,000. So I think the system and the need for it speaks for itself.
Any further discussion? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Childers' motion that the committee of the whole rises to report and do so with the recommendation that Bill number 32 do pass, please say aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 32 has passed committee of the whole. The next bill for consideration is House Bill 4. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 4, introduced by the Corporation Committee, connected to the nature of alcoholic beverages regarding direct shipment winery.
Chairman Elwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report, and do so with the recommendation that House Bill 4 do pass, and I further move adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. What we did, the Standing Committee Amendment deleted July 1, 2006 and inserted immediately upon completion of all acts. We were asked to do that by one particular winery that was at the hearing because of the bill, and I will explain the bill as we go on, but I'd ask for a positive vote on the Standing Committee Amendment.
You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Chairman O'Connor,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill was through this House last year. House Bill 4 is direct shipments of wineries. And what it does is it conforms to what has occurred with the U.S. Supreme Court that really said they made a ruling to require that state interstate laws on direct wine shipments reciprocate with state intrastate laws. Now, in the year 2000, we passed a law that said that interstate, you could have two boxes of wine, 18 liters, shipped to you during the year. We didn't say anything about intrastate at that time. The wineries were just getting started in the state. They didn't come to us. But now the Supreme Court has said, the U.S. Supreme Court has said, if you have one or the other, inter or interstate, you have to have the other one. So this time we're doing intrastate. There are two wineries within the state. I believe one is in Huntley, Wyoming, and one is in the northern part of Sheridan County. And all this does is allow those wineries in the state to ship wine in the state. So I don't think we need to go through the entire bill. It talks about filing monthly reports. These folks have to be licensed by the Liquor Commission. They have permits, and you could still end up and purchase 18 liters, two boxes of wine. So I would ask for your favorable consideration on this particular piece of legislation.
Chairman,
Mr. Chairman, I was curious as to whether or not there was any discussion in the committee as to whether to increase the amount allowable with the idea that this is an industry that we'd like to promote in Wyoming that actually give an advantage to over out-of-state wineries.
Mr. Chairman, the good representative brings up an excellent point. It was brought up. However, if you do it on one side, you have to do it on the other side. So if we changed it to 36 liters on the intrastate, we'd have to change the statutes on the other side to make interstate comparable. So we just don't have that in this particular piece of legislation, and rather than to confuse it,
I'd ask for us to go ahead, we could take a look at it for the next year to increase the percentage or increase the gallonage that could be shipped, which you can't have them different.
Any other discussion on the bill? Would you take the question? Question having been called, all those in favor representing the Hallways motion that when the Committee of the Hallways is to report, it does so with a recommendation that bill number 4 do pass. Please say aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 4 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A little change in the general file order. We're going to move House Bill 7 and House Bill 61 down to the bottom of the list as the chairman of both committees have ordered for the preparation.
With that, our next bill for consideration is House Bill number 42. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 42, introduced by the Revenue Committee, enacting relating to taxation and revenue sales and use tax contractors as vendors.
Chairman Anderson. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hope the Committee of the Whole rises to report it is so with a favorable vote for House Bill 42. House Bill 42 is sales and use tax contractors as vendors. We do have an amendment. I would like to move that amendment this time. I would move amendment number 1 to House Bill, State of Committee amendment number 1 to House Bill 42, which changes some, inserts a word on line 2, page 7, and line 3, page 3, line 1. We're going to cover both sales tax and use tax. They're identical. And it just inserts the word price. I put the word sales just before price, or sales price. But sales price is definitely defined in our statutes and covers all those things. And so, ask for a vote on that this time. You've heard the motion on the standing committee amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. The standing committee amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, for an explanation of the bill, I'd like to represent Bowles.
Representative Bowles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a short bill, one that seemed to accumulate unanimous support by parties that were potentially affected by it. It has to do with a both the sales and use taxes, chapter 15, deals with the sales taxes, and the language is mirrored in chapter 16 for use taxes. So I'll just simply discuss the sales tax part of it, and it's axiomatic that the use tax component would follow in the next chapter. It has to do with the contractors as vendors. It helps them better understand when they have to be collecting the sales tax from materials and supplies that they sell when they're providing contracting services, as well as clear up when they have a sales tax liability when they're delivering the supplies and materials and contract that involves material and labor combined. On page 1 or on page 2, it reads pretty clearly that contractors may act, according to the bill, as retail merchants of building supplies or construction materials that have been purchased tax-free for resale. Those circumstances require the contractor to obtain a license to collect sales tax as a vendor. On the other hand, when a contractor contracts to build material and labor separately, he will charge sales tax on the sales price of all materials. However, when a contractor builds material and labor together, all supplies and materials will be taxable to the contractor on the basis of the contractor's cost of the materials and supplies. And that's what it
So next up, Ms. Saunders.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I just want to double check that if a person that hires that contractor has historically paid their own sales tax, and there's many large companies that have done that, that have worked for a number of years, will this bill in any way prevent them from continuing that practice? I guess I was concerned on page 2, lines 5 through 10, that it may eliminate it. Could I have an answer on that, please?
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know that I really thoroughly understand the question or not. Would affect the case which you're concerned about. But the purpose of the bill and its effect is to simply delineate whether the contractor is selling the materials and supplies as he adds labor charge to the ultimate consumer of his services and the goods, or whether he delivers the goods and provides labor as a package deal. Therefore, the sales tax is based on the cost to the contractor, and he is liable for the sales tax. And he can adjust the price of his services as a package, however it's appropriate based on what his costs are, including the sales tax.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess maybe my confusion is the difference between charge and collect. And I'll check that if that's a problem. I will bring an amendment to correct it, but it's probably not a problem. Thank you.
Any other discussion on the bill? Chairman Anderson, perhaps an explanation of where this problem came up with the department when they did some audits on some of the people at the installation and building. Probably the prime example would be a cabinet maker. Sometimes they make the cabinet and sell it. Sometimes they install it. And sometimes they do all of it. I guess it's to straighten that out so they know that the labor is not charged, that the material, the sales price of the material is collected, the sales tax is collected. That's probably the prime example of what the confusion was. I ran into it when they started doing audits. People didn't understand. This is to simplify the thing so those people know what they need to charge sales tax on and what they don't need. Any other discussion on this bill? Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, for those in favor of Representative Anderson's motion, member of the committee of the whole passes the report. And do so with the correct recommendation that bill number 42 do pass. Please say aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 42 has passed committee of the whole. The next bill for consideration is House Bill 5. Mr. Chairman, Representative Corbett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I have personal privilege of the floor?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not often, over the course of the last year, I've had an opportunity to introduce some of our residents from Hot Springs County. But I'm pleased today to introduce to you the right guy here, one of our big presidents who came down to help us with the bill today. And he's a great advocate for the office of Hot Springs County. Does a lot of good. That's Brian Yerington.
Welcome to the House. The next bill for consideration is House Bill number 5. The reading of the bill, House Bill 5, introduced by the Corporation Committee and activating to alcoholic beverages, alcohol without liquid. Chairman Everly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 5 do pass. And I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment, and I'll discuss that amendment right now. This takes out a section of the bill inside where it's on page 2, this section shall not apply to an individual who possesses a prescription from a licensed Wyoming physician that allows for the use of an alcohol without liquid device.
device for legitimate medical purposes. We've been unable to find anybody that might prescribe that and felt that it was not needed in the bill and that it should be taken out. So I ask for the question on the standing committee amendment. Mr. Chairman, I ask for this question on the standing committee amendment.
You've heard the motion on the standing committee amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Standing committee amendment number one has been adopted. We're back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me talk just briefly about alcohol without liquid devices. This is a process first developed in Europe that allows people to take in liquor without actually consuming the liquid. The machine vaporizes alcohol, mixes it with oxygen, allowing the consumer to breathe in the mixture. Now, if you're thinking about your favorite liquor that you might like to have, it makes no difference because you're not going to taste it because you're going to inhale it into the lungs. So if you have a favorite scotch or bourbon or whatever, doesn't matter. You might as well just use 100 proof or 80 proof corn liquor and let it vaporize. The machine has been dubbed AWOL, a play on the military term, AWOL, action without lead. The AWOL machine produces a very fine alcoholic mist. The machine was introduced first in the United States in August of 2004, and I can tell you that it was tried up in the northeast corner of the state where the motorcycles hang out in the summer. The machine's marketers say it produces a euphoric high and reduces the negative effects of alcoholic consumption, including promoting it as a low-carb, low-calorie alternative. Vaporized alcohol enters the bloodstream faster, and its effects are more immediate than its liquid counterparts. In other words, you get it drunk, but you don't get sick. Well, maybe some people would say that's not so bad. Marketers caution, however, that purchasers that use the machine should use it no more than twice in a 24-hour period to avoid overconsumption, and this might be dangerous. The alcohol is first loaded into a diffuser capsule in the machine, and the oxygen bubbles are then passed through the capsule, absorbing the alcohol before being inhaled through a tube. The resultant alcohol vapor is then inhaled from the end of the tube via a device akin to an asthma inhaler. Well, we felt that the best thing to do with this baby was to proceed proactively and get it banned within the state. There are at least 12 states that have already banned the alcohol inhalation machines. We know that there are others that are looking at it at one time. Last year, there were at least 22 states signed by governors, some were in that process. One more thing, Dr. Michael Silver with Rush University Medical Center said, "Our lungs aren't made to be exposed to high concentrations of alcohol. Our stomach can tolerate it, but our lungs may have lots of problems with that in terms of drying, coughing, concerns about humidification, thirst, and so forth." And here, in a time where we're really trying to send a message to crack down on binge drinking, to crack down on DUIs, this is the wrong product at the wrong time. I ask for your favorable consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I run against this bill. These aren't scary machines, nothing to be feared. There's something that really hasn't hit Wyoming yet, and while I'm usually the first up here to be excited about being proactive on something in the state, I don't think this is the right issue. They are a semi-craze that's sweeping the country, but I would caution you, if you haven't seen one of these or experienced one of these, then don't just vote against them right now until you've had some time to
and at least examine how these things work. It did catch on a lot in 2005, but actually now in 2006, especially in the last 2 months, we have reports from papers across the country that bars that once got these are getting rid of them because there are built-in safety mechanisms on them. It takes 20 minutes to vaporize a shot, which I guess you probably could have 3 shots in an hour if you did nothing but stand next to a machine and breathe in fumes, but that gets a little bit boring after a while. I just don't think the time is right for these. I would caution you that if you don't have any first-hand experience, if you haven't been to a party like I have, I hate to say that because, you know, that sometimes that could probably work against me, but I have seen these aren't scary devices. They're not something to be feared, and I don't believe they will cause a problem in our state, and I urge you to vote no. Thank you.
Representative Banks.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to speak in favor of this bill. I think it is something to be afraid of. When I first started thinking about this, when I saw the bill, I immediately thought that, wow, this is taking alcohol, putting it right into the lungs, which means it goes right into the bloodstream, and it's bypassing one of your body's defense mechanisms. It's putting a lot of alcohol in your has the potential of putting a lot of alcohol into your body real quick. I'm really afraid that people are going to die from something like this. You've got a natural defense mechanism, basically throwing up, that keeps you from developing alcohol poisoning usually. Now, so it still happens, but most people don't stand there with a bottle of whiskey and just turn it upside down. That's not what you'd have to do. I'm just afraid that the potential is here for some real damage, possibly death. I see no reason to have these in the state. I'd ask you to support this bill.
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was interested to hear how damaging the use of this machine could be to your lungs. And I'm not a medical doctor, but I have heard that tobacco can do the same thing to your lungs. And there's a lot more documentation of the deadly impacts of that. However, I guess I'll just consider trying to limit the use of both tobacco and this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Biden.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know anything about this practice. I never have tried it. But I do respect that my seatmate's experience, and I think experience is worth a great deal. I think we do some things because of perceptions that don't necessarily agree with reality. I think it's okay to make a decision on something like this when we don't have any experience with it. This, actually, we might want to keep this activity in bars. That way there'd be somebody there to keep an eye on people and somebody watching over it, because we know that just by passing a law, we are not going to change people's behavior. And young people who have machines that can do this sort of thing, they're going to do it. And that's just the reality of the situation. So we really aren't going to be changing anybody's behavior. We might penalize those few that get caught. But I think we should know more about what we're doing here before we launch into something that appears to be bad.
Representative Patterson.
Mr. Chairman, I believe it was Mark Twain who said, the more a thing is forbidden, the more popular it becomes. And we can rest assured that the manufacturers of this device are shedding no tears, that we are giving them the free advertising of banning this product, because it's only going to put it in the minds of the young people that we're supposedly trying to save. Some very good arguments were made in committee that this is really taking away an adult right as well. So I'm guessing most of the body has its mind made up on this, but let's rest assured the manufacturers are shedding no tears that we're about ready to give them a tax-free sales.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One more time to read that. Sometimes I get excited, I'm not quite clear.
These machines are attached to an air hose. This isn't like a humidifier that just vaporizes alcohol in the air. You have to sit there or stand there with a hose, mask, etc., attached to your face. And assuming it takes 4, 5, or 6 shots to get drunk or get sick, you'd be sitting there for 2 hours trying to soak in alcohol. This is actually much slower than it. You can kick back a fifth of liquor very quickly, so I've watched the night agent. But this machine does work very slowly. I don't know if there's a possibility of jerry-rigging it to not have the system in place. But these machines do have that system in place where it takes 20 minutes to uptake 1 shot of alcohol while standing there with a device, face mask attached that you have to breathe in for clarification. Thank you.
Chairman Dunaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will tell you that you wouldn't find this probably in a business that sells alcohol because you don't sell enough since you vaporize it. They want to sell the shots, and they want you to buy as many shots as you possibly can. You can figure out where these probably are going to be. They could be in dorm rooms. They could be at parties where young people are. And it doesn't mean that young people at 18 or 17 or whatever couldn't have one of these and then have a party in somebody's home. This is a great way not to have. We're trying to keep young people away from alcohol. We're trying to keep them away from driving. And this is a way to do that. Let's ban this machine. Let's pass this bill. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question for committee call. All those in favor of Representative Holloway's motion that when the committee of the whole raises to report and do so with the recommendation that bill number 5 be passed, please say aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 5 is passed committee of the whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the committee of the whole to rise and report.
And you have the motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. The motion carries.
The meeting clerk will read the committee of the whole report.
Mr. Speaker, per care of your committee of the whole, I begin under consideration of votes on general file. They include the report as follows. House Bill 9, recommended new pass. House Bill 10, amended, recommended new pass. House Bill 37, amended, recommended new pass. House Joint Resolution Number 4, recommended new pass. House Bill 32, recommended new pass. House Bill 4, amended, recommended new pass. House Bill 42, amended, recommended new pass. House Bill 5, amended, recommended new pass. Signed, Representative Miller, Chairman.
You have heard the vote, Representative Miller.
I move the adoption of the committee of the whole report.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye. All opposed. Motion carries. Thank you, Representative Miller. Now, next item is introduction, reading, and reference of bills. House Bill number 118.
House Bill number 118, introduced by Representative Lucy. First reading of the bill, an act relating to the University of Wyoming regarding matching funds.
The sponsor of the bill is Representative Luthy.
Representative Luthy, Mr. Speaker, do you wish to move introduction of House Bill 118?
I do, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, and I move introduction of House Bill 118 to the House of Representatives. House Bill 118 does actually two things. The highly successful challenge program at the University of Wyoming was started approximately, as I recall, 4 years ago. And twice the legislature has seen fit to it, add money to it. What it is if you can go out and find a private donation, the state provides a match to that. And that's been very successful. In fact, they completed their challenge program in record time. In addition, a part of it dealt with the athletics facilities plan. What this bill would do is provide $40 million again for this plan. What it does is it provides, and that's on page 10. Sometimes these bills are easy to read when you start at the back. $25 million for the University Endowment Challenge account, which we know about. $6 million to the University Athletics Challenge account, which we know about. The new challenge account is number 3, $9 million to the Academic Facilities Challenge account. That is created by this bill as well. So you can also go for matching monies for actually building construction of academic buildings. As I recall, the money is in the budget. However, the authorizing language would not be. And as you look through the bill, you'll see several dates that are crossed out and extended, which means we're giving the university additional time then to meet the match. With that, I would hopefully stand for questions or if there's time for anyone else to talk about.
Does anyone wish to speak in opposition? Seeing none, the chief clerk will call the roll. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, Mr. Minority Leader. Didn't see you there.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I'd just like to say that I think this is a very good bill, mainly because my name's on it. But this is the kind of investment that I think we need to be making in the state of Wyoming and the people of Wyoming. It's going to return dividends for a very long time. It's just going to do nothing but help Wyoming economically. It'll help the people of Wyoming in their lives. It'll help our communities down the road. It's just one of those things that you can't help but win when you do.
Time. Thank you. Does anyone wish to speak in opposition? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Magby, Barnard, Berger, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Newholz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Baskerville, Gay, Gilmore, Gingrich, Boggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Marshman, Harvey, Bastard, Hinckley excused, Eichel, Dalloway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Martin, McCombie, Mercer, Miley, Wheeler, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Patterson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Horbert, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlin, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Snyder, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker, Jorgensen excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of 2/3 of the elected members, House Bill number 118 has been introduced and is assigned to Committee number 2, Appropriations. The
next bill for our consideration is House Bill 104.
House Bill 104 introduced by Representative Johnson.
First reading of the bill.
And act relating to internship grants.
House Bill 104 having been introduced by Representative Johnson. Representative Johnson, do you wish to move the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move House Bill 104, the Wyoming Internship Grant Initiative. House Bill 104 will allow for the design of a quality program that will increase internship opportunities in the state of Wyoming. The Wyoming Workforce Development Council, on which I serve as a member representing this body, has identified that finding a skilled workforce is one of the key components of economic growth in our state. If you look on your desk, you'll find a brochure that the Wyoming Workforce Development Council has given you with relates to the priorities for the year. One way to help develop a skilled workforce is to help individuals acquire on-the-job skills and training. This bill allows for the Department of Workforce Services to do just that by creating a program to increase and improve internships in our state. The intent of the internship initiative is to create a method to assist businesses in designing internships that actually meet the needs of both the business and the intern concurrently. In many cases, interns simply make copies and answer phones, and the opportunities for them to do more are really underutilized. Their potential, they always, most of you have been in internship experiences where you're just not utilized, at least when you were young, to the point that maybe you thought you could be. And checking with businesses, they want to offer these internships, but they're concerned that they don't have the expertise to set up these type of programs that other states are currently utilizing. There are two companies in the nation that do go through and help states set up these type of programs. After speaking with businesses and working with the Department of Workforce Services, you know, this came before the council. We discussed it. Several of the business members in the council discussed that they had internship programs that weren't working as well as they would like, just because no one met with the business to help establish these. And they were in favor of this type of legislation. It's a two-year study. If we want a better trained workforce, one of the best things we can do is offer a hands-on, real-world work experience. And creating this program helps bring more opportunities to allow interns to work in a mentor-based environment to learn those on-the-job skills in hopes of finding meaningful employment within our state. Interns is kind of a loose term. It applies to high school grads, college grads, people wanting to change work experiences mid-career, or older workers wanting to get back into the workforce.
Thank you, Representative Swanson.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone desiring to speak in opposition? Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, mostly have a question that I thought I'd give the sponsor for his last 30 seconds, and that was, I'm familiar with apprenticeship programs, but I'm not familiar with internship programs, and I just, the sponsor did have a bus starting to try to identify those more, and I just wondered if he could identify any of them by job title so I could get a better understanding of what an apprenticeship program was.
Representative Swanson, would you like to know that?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Currently, I'm not really sure the apprenticeship program that exists more so in the labor industry. This program is a two-year study to help establish an internship program in Wyoming, which we currently don't have. Other states are trying to do this with the youth retention mechanism. The goals of this program are on page 2. I'll read them to you while I have time. A program that meets the demands of Wyoming's employers to train the future workforce, enhances opportunities for Wyoming residents to remain within Wyoming, provides opportunities for Wyoming residents to gain work experience in Wyoming, and supplements and enhances existing programs, providing opportunities for Wyoming business, government, and associates with eligible employees in the state.
So, thank you, Representative Swanson. Question is, how has Bill 104 been introduced to the House of Representatives? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Holder. Anderson. Bagley. Barnard. Berger. Rectum. Brown. Buchanan. Ingalls. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Yay. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Bastard, Hinkley excused, Eichel, Gilway, Jackson, excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Wilson, Osborne, Henderson, Peterson, Hill, Powers, Harbour, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlin, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 22 ayes, 6 noes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted by affirmative vote of 2/3 of those elected to the House. House Bill 104 has been introduced. House Bill 104 will be referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Before going on to the next bill, members, you were just passed out, or you, it's probably, I should use a little better term. You have just received a consent list. What this is a possibility. I know we've talked somewhat about those tax utility and relief bills. This is the list of the bills that I had as of about noon. Under our rules, we can do a consent list for introduction of bills. In fact, that rule is located at 28-3. However, the list needs to be available for 24 hours so that everybody can look at it. At the time that this is actually moved, members are able to remove bills from the list should they wish to do so. I just wanted to call your attention to it. Again, so you can be familiar with the bills on the proposed consent list. Again, if we find that everybody just pulls bills off of it, there isn't much use of worrying about doing it. But I would encourage the members to think about this, since this is one of those extremely interested areas that many people have voiced concerns about. What are we going to do about it? This would be a way to get those bills introduced and onto a committee so we can have hearings. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 130.
House Bill 130, introduced by the Corporation Committee. Appropriation Committee.
Thank you. First reading of the bill.
Act related to law enforcement retirement.
House Bill 130 is introduced by the Appropriations Committee. Chairman Fett, would you like to move the bill?
Mr. Speaker, I move House Bill number 130 and ask for your favorable consideration. Well, this bill is brought to us by the retirement system that manages the law enforcement retirement account, this particular law enforcement retirement. And all it actually does is imposes a time limit for a city, town, or county to elect to participate in that. And what that does is when they do their actuarial studies, they have a more defined group. And if you look on page 2, lines 18 and 19, that's the specific language that does that. I ask for your positive consideration.
Does anyone wish to speak in opposition? Seeing none, the question is, shall House Bill 130 be introduced in the Wyoming House of Representatives? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barter, Berger, Rectal, Brown, Buchanan, Ewolds, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Hay, Gilmore, Bobbles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Barbie, Bastard, Hinkley, excused, Eichel, Hilloway, Jackson, excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Ludnow, Martin, McCombie, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Peterson, Bill Powers, Orger, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlin, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
House Bill 130, having received the two-thirds vote of the members elected to the House of Representatives, is introduced into the House and referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 131.
House Bill 131, introduced by Representative Simpson. First reading of the bill, enacting new taxation and revenue regarding the permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund deposits.
House Bill 131, having been sponsored by Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, would you like to move the bill for introduction?
Yes, please, Mr. Speaker. I move introduction of House Bill 131 and ask for favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, you recall Senate File 25 last year added another 1% of flow from the severance tax distribution account, severance tax flow, to the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund. So, we've got the 1.5% constitutional flow. We have the 1% Senate File 25 statutory flow. This proposes another 0.5% into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund from the statutory, severance tax distribution account, for a total of 3% constitutional and statutory flow. Approximately 60 to 63 million a year per each 0.5%. And it would take it right into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund, just as we did with Senate File 25.
Anyone desiring to speak in opposition? Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, currently in the budget bill, you get $515 million for Rainy Day Fund, $648 million to the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund. That's over $1 billion in savings. Also, it's $200 million for savings. That's over $1.3 billion going into savings already. This adds another $66 million to it this year and continues on in future years. It reduces the amount of money that we have to invest in our communities, in our people, in water development, health care, in education, and in a lot of the other bills that you folks have brought forward in this session. I would suggest that we kill this bill, not introduce it, and take up the idea of more savings when the budget bill hits the floor, and we've seen how the rest of these bills play out. We can still deal with this issue, although not sitting in statute, but we can't deal with additional savings with a budget bill. If you do this, you're sitting in a statute, and it's going to go on until you can get a legislature that reduces it at some point in the future, but we can't afford.
Thank you, Representative Reese. Representative Simpson, would you like rebuttal?
Yes, please. Do not kill this bill. Remember two things. The $200 million into the PMTF in the budget bill is offset by any bills that put money into the PMTF. The $200 million won't increase. It can be reduced. This also provides certainty of flow, and possibly in the years to come, we won't have to come down and argue about how much we're going to place each year into the PMTF. We'll have a constitutional and statutory flow. That's the way to do it.
Question is, shall House Bill 131 be introduced in the Wyoming House of Representatives? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Aye. Anderson. Aye. Bagney. Carter. Berger. Rechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Ewolds. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Escobel. Gay, Gilmore, Kingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Marshman, Harvey, Bastard, Hinkley, excused, Eichel, Gilway, Jackson, excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Osborne. Patterson. Peterson. Hill. Powers. Horberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Semlich. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Osterberger. Watt. White. Sponsor. Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Thompson? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? Vote is closed. 44 ayes, 14 noes, 2 excused.
House Bill 131, having received the two-thirds vote necessary for introduction, the bill is introduced and referred to Committee Number 2 of Appropriations. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 95.
House Bill 95, introduced by Representative Simpson. First reading of the bill, Act relating to trade secrets.
Members of the floor, you may see buzzing around and not really confusion up here, but the server has crashed and most of the computers around the desk are no longer functioning. Oddly enough, we still have the ability to take roll call votes, but nothing's going out. You know, we can't get it out to the web or anything right now. We're working with that, but I don't see any reason to slow down the work of the people of Wyoming.
House Bill 95 has been introduced by Representative Simpson. Representative Simpson, would you like to move introduction of the bill?
Please, Mr. Speaker, I move introduction of House Bill 95 and ask for favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, the Trade Secrets Act. On January 26th of this year, the Wyoming Supreme Court came down with a ruling on whether or not a cause of action for trade secret misappropriation existed in Wyoming, and if it did, what were the elements of that cause of action? It indicated that Wyoming had adopted the common law and that the elements were as stated in the restatement of fair trade. There were two justices that dissented to that and said, this is a question for the legislature. It just so happened that prior to that, I turned in this bill draft to adopt the Uniform Trade Secrets Act. Prior to the Supreme Court decision, Wyoming was the only jurisdiction in the United States that has not given specific legislative or judicial recognition to a tort cause of action for misuse of trade secrets. Most of the jurisdictions or states have adopted the Uniform Trade Secrets Act. This will put us into the current century on trade secrets protection and misappropriation of those. I encourage you to vote for this and let it work through the process. Thank you.
Any in opposition? Seeing none, the question is, should House Bill 95 be introduced to the House of Representatives? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Agby. Barnard. Berger. Reptil. Brown. Cannon, Ewalds, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Bastard, Hinckley excused, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Ludlow, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Harrison, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Horberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlet, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 57 ayes, 2 excused.
House Bill 95, having received two-thirds of the voting members of those elected to the House, House Bill 95 is introduced in the House and referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 128.
House Bill 128, introduced by Mr. Speaker, I have moved introduction of House Bill 198 as for favorable consideration. As soon as this bill was starting to be drafted, virtually everybody who's talked to me has expressed their concern about their communities of having workforce housing that people can afford to get into. This bill is a step in helping that problem. I recently circulated to your desk an online sheet that tells the story about the problem, the solution, and the program overview. Looking at the bill itself, it provides funding for cities, towns, and counties, and joint powers of areas to provide infrastructure to developments where people can afford to build, or we can build homes and people in the workforce can afford to buy them. The program will be created, after it's created, will be administered by the state treasurer. She can contract out for the administrative details on that. There are certain things that are in this infrastructure development, and obviously it's sewer and water and streets and streetlights and those sorts of things. There's a considerable amount of detail on how we evaluate the plans, but it basically works down to what the community needs and how they present their plans for needs in their communities. There's a very significant appropriation in it, $80 million. I've spoken with the chairman of the appropriations. We'll be doing the work in that area. There is a small administrative one-time cost in the state treasurer's office of $70,000 to set up the mechanisms and do the evaluation. That said, why are we doing it now? I think we have a lot of people working in our state of Wyoming that are living in trailer beds and various places, and they leave because they don't have a place they can bring their families. Let's correct that problem and start with this program. I urge your support.
Anyone wish to speak in opposition? Seeing none, the question is, should House Bill 1? Representative Gilmore.
Thank you. Due to the introduction of House Bill 131, Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund Deposits 2, and the impact to the remaining budget, I urge you to vote no on this proposition. I think that, this is very necessary, but probably not at this time. Thank you.
Representative Dorrance, would you like the remaining time in opposition?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a lot of money. This is $80 million. And it did not go through appropriations, so I understand that it would. If we put in these $50, $60, $70, $80 million issues, something's going to come out. And the something that's going to come out is something that's either already in the governor's budget or things that all of you have proposed and you feel are important. If it does get introduced, I look forward to the explanation. The agency administering as to why they didn't consider it or it fell on the priority list. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Long, is there any remaining time for rebuttal or for opposition?
There's no.
Representative Lockhart, would you like to rebut?
Certainly, as I mentioned earlier, there'll be a hard look at the appropriation, how much we should use in this budgeting cycle for this project, and that can be looked at. Additionally, the administrative steps follow once the bill is passed, and I fully expect that to happen. I urge your support.
Question is, should House Bill 128 be introduced to the Wyoming House of Representatives? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Rectal, Brown, Buchanan, Buholz, Childers, Mr. Majority for earlier, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Hay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Archman, Harvey, Bastard, Hinckley excused, Michael, Gilloway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Warburg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semler, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Smolenser, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Pedersen, no to aye. Esquivel, no to aye. Buchanan, no to aye. Edwards, are you changing your vote? Are there any other changes? Vote is closed. 45 ayes, 13 noes, 2 excused.
House Bill 128 never received two-thirds of I can't even say it anymore. House Bill 128 hadn't received two-thirds of those elected members of the House of Representatives. House Bill 128 is introduced, referenced to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 144.
House Bill 144, introduced by Representative Gingery.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to alcoholic beverages, beer keg registration.
House Bill 144 has been introduced by Representative Gingery. Representative Gingery, do you care to move introduction?
Mr. Chairman, I move introduction of House Bill 144 and ask for favorable consideration. You saw many of the young people around here yesterday. This was one of the bills that they've been working very hard on. This aims to cut down underage drinking. 25 states already have beer keg registration. How this works is that there is a luggage tag that's attached to each keg. It states the dealer, the liquor dealer's address, the liquor dealer's phone number, and it has a unique registration number. So your name is actually not on the keg. Back at the liquor dealer, they do have your name and the day of purchase. What this does is that when a party is busted in which it's all minors present and no one seems to know where that keg came from, there is a means by law enforcement to track where, first of all, which liquor dealer it came from, but more importantly, from what individual bought that keg. Now, some people do put down a deposit for the tap, and that's one way of tracking, but some people have their own taps, and the kegs you don't always have to return, so there's no way of tracing back. Most liquor dealers already do this. Some cities have this in their code in Wyoming. What we're trying to do is make this consistent across the state. The only penalties that you'll see in this bill is for making false entries or for removing the tag, but you will actually see no enforcement provisions for the actual enforcement of this. This bill is not as draconian as you've seen perhaps in other states. We tried to draft this in a means that would be amenable to liquor dealers throughout the state. How it is implemented is left up to liquor dealers to determine. And I would urge you to vote in favor.
Anyone wish to speak in opposition? Anyone wish to use remaining time in favor? 20 seconds, Representative Swanser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just felt like I keep talking against all the alcohol bills and much of them. I really am in favor of this one. I think it's sorely needed. And I encourage you all to vote yes for its introduction.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the question is, shall House Bill 144 be introduced to the Wyoming House of Representatives? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baldwin. Anderson. Bagby. Barner. Berger. Rectal. Brown. Buchanan. Buholz. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, excuse, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lovnell, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Samwick. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller, aye to no. Walsh, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Vote is closed. 54 ayes, 5 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 144, having received the affirmative vote of the member, 2/3 of the members who are elected to the House of Representatives, House Bill 144 is introduced and referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 152.
House Bill 152, introduced by Representative Buchanan. First reading of the bill, an act relating to crimes and offenses, incest, increase in penalties.
House Bill 152, having been introduced by Representative Buchanan. Representative Buchanan, you care to move introduction?
Mr. Speaker, I move for introduction of House Bill 152 and ask for your favorable consideration. We've had an emphasis on strengthening penalties for the worst of worst crimes, those being sexual assault and also incest. Fairly soon, you will see House Bill 185 come up for introduction, and that's a comprehensive bill dealing with strengthened penalties for sexual assault offenses. House Bill 152, dealing with incest, is really the counterpart to that legislation. Currently, as the law stands, incest is a felony punishable probably not more than 5 years. Basically, this bill would increase the potential imprisonment to 15 years. There's no minimum sentence for it, but it would increase the maximum possible to 15 from 5 and increase the current maximum possible fine of $5,000 to $10,000. So I would ask for your favorable support. And we will definitely favorably consider amendments later if committees or other members of the body deem amendments appropriate, establishing minimum penalties as well.
Anyone desiring to speak in opposition? Seeing none, question is, shall House Bill 152 be introduced in the Wyoming House of Representatives? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Anderson. Agby, Barnard, Berger, Rectal, Brown, Brown, Buchanan, Ewaltz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Terps, Edwards, Esquivel, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Marshman, Harvey, Bastard, Hinckley, Michael, Illaway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Ludlow, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Patterson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Horberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker, Anderson, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gilmore, no to aye. Are there any other changes? Vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 152, having received the affirmative vote of 2/3 of those elected to the House of Representatives, House Bill 152 is introduced and referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 150.
House Bill 150, introduced by Representative Buchanan.
First reading of the bill.
The Act relating to Wheat Marketing Commission.
House Bill 150, having been introduced by Representative Buchanan. Representative Buchanan, you wish to move introduction?
Mr. Speaker, I move for introduction of House Bill 150 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this basically makes a modification as to how we make nominations and appoint members to the Wheat Growers Commission, the Wheat Marketing Commission, excuse me. The reason I bring this issue to you in a budget session is because right now this commission has an extremely difficult time in appointing members necessary to carry on their business. It's a 7-member group, and right now under current law, it is required that they be from 2 areas, basically the southeastern part of the state, and then some area 2 is from other areas of the state, including some of the more western counties. Well, there's not a lot of wheat production in area 2 and these other areas of the state, and so the Wyoming Wheat Growers Association approached me in bringing this legislation to you so that they can have membership nominations from throughout the state, all counties, in hopes that they can fully appoint a 7-member commission and that they can consistently have a quorum so that they can conduct their business. Because right now there are times where they can't conduct business because they lack a quorum because of the restrictions on nominations. Thank you.
Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, the question is, shall House Bill 150 be introduced to the Wyoming House of Representatives? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Arnold, Berger, Bechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buholz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Michael, Illaway, Illaway, Jackson, excuse, Jones, Jurgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Martin, McCombe, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Patterson, Peterson, Philp, Powers, Horberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, 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 Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker, Harshman, Harshman excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
House Bill 150, my apologies. House Bill 150 has received the affirmative vote of 2/3 of the members elected to the Wyoming House. House Bill 150 is introduced and referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 147 will be laid back until consideration tomorrow. House Bill 147 will be laid back until consideration tomorrow. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 145.
House Bill 145 introduced by the Select Water Committee and activating to water development projects under this water bill plan.
First reading of the bill. House Bill 145, introduced by the Water Select Committee. Chairman Anderson, would you like to move introduction of the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and the background noise is Select Water. Thank you, and this is the planning bill that we see each year. The construction bills over in the Senate being started. This is about somewhere around $15 million worth of water development in the planning bill. They all come from water development account, and no attack on any of the other funds. We certainly want to explain the bill to you as we go, but I'd encourage your move that this House Bill 145 be voted for introduction.
Thank you. Anyone desire to speak in opposition? Seeing none, the question is, should House Bill 145 be introduced to the Wyoming House of Representatives? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Buells, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Pingery, Goggles, Hageman, Ammons, Marshman, Harvey, Astert, Inkling, Michael, Elway, Jackson, excuse, Jones, Jorgensen, Landman, Lockhart, Lubnow, Martin, Martin, McCombie, Mercer, Miley, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Patterson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Korberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Samlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 145, having received the affirmative vote of 2/3 of the members elected to the Wyoming House, House Bill 145 is introduced and referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 151.
House Bill 151, introduced by Representative Landon,
first reading of the bill,
and that guiding to the Wyoming Controlled Substances Act.
House Bill 151, having been introduced by Representative Landon. Representative Landon, do you wish to move introduction?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move introduction of House Bill 151 and ask for your favorable consideration. This bill was brought by one of our constituents, the AG's office. They reported to us that they would like to have the same liberties of dealing with evidence that the federal government has as far as test and destroy, because they're building up some large quantities of drugs. They have 6,000 pounds of marijuana, 5,500 pounds of cocaine, and so on. What this bill will allow them to do is to photograph and videotape the evidence, then extract a random sample, and destroy the rest of it. It's becoming a hardship to store, and they feel like that it could have health hazards as well as security hazards in their storage area.
Does anyone wish to speak in opposition? Seeing none. Seeing none, the question is, should House Bill 151 be introduced in the Wyoming House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Werner, Berger, Rectal, Brown, Buchanan, Buholtz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Marshman, Harvey, Bastard, Hinkley, Michael, Illaway, Jackson, excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubnow, Martin, McCombie, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Henderson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Warburg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Samlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 151, having received the affirmative vote of 2/3 of those elected to the Wyoming House, House Bill 151 is is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Last bill for our consideration is House Bill 149.
House Bill 149, introduced by Representative Brandon.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to concealed weapons permits qualifications.
House Bill 149 has been introduced by Representative Landon. Representative Landon, do you hear your move introduction?
Mr. Speaker, I move introduction of House Bill 149 and ask for favorable consideration. This bill was also brought by a constituent, not the AG. This particular constituent would like to have a concealed carry permit in the state of Wyoming. He has a concealed carry permit in a number of states. However, when he applied for his concealed carry permit in Wyoming, he was not able to receive one because of the way the law is written concerning previous conviction for controlled substances. He has a misdemeanor conviction for a marijuana pipe that he was convicted of when he was 16 years old in South Dakota. And our laws that have to do with denying concealed carry permits to individuals who have controlled substances convictions does not separate felonies from misdemeanors. Felons, of course, cannot carry any type of firearms or have firearms, but in this case, he felt that having had the ability to have firearms in other states, he should also have it in Wyoming. So what this bill proposes to do is to exempt convictions for misdemeanors for being a reason that you cannot apply for a concealed carry permit.
Anyone wish to speak in opposition? Pardon me. Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On your gun registration form, which is a federal form 4473, one of the boxes on your questionnaire column on that is, are you now or have you ever been convicted of using controlled narcotic substance, including marijuana? A concealed firearm permit doesn't exempt you from making out that 4473 form, but it does exempt you from going through the FBI background check. So we may be stepping outside of federal law.
Representative Landon, would you like to rebut?
Mr. Speaker, this was also brought to our attention, and we concluded that there must be something about this if we didn't understand that he had concealed carry permits in several other states.
Question is, shall House Bill 149 be introduced? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Werner. Berger. Rectal. Brown. Buchanan. Newholz. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Perks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingery. Ogles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Hastert. Hastert. Hinckley. Michael. Illaway. Illaway. Jackson, excuse. Jones. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart. Lovnell. Martin. McComey. Mercer. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Peterson. Peterson. Philp. Powers. Warburg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Zimlick. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Sawyer. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Swanson. Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? McComey, aye to no. Slater, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 23 ayes, 36 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 129, having failed to receive 2/3 vote, is not introduced. I see we end the day much like we began. Mr. Reading Clerk, do we have any reports for committee reports?
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, the owners referred House Bill 11, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Barnard, Gingrey, Galloway, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Miller, Olson, No, Dirks, signed Representative Galloway, Chairman.
Messages from the Senate.
Message number 100. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated Senate File 24, Chief Electrical Inspector, Inspection of Electrocutions, Ayes 13, No 17. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk.
Committee announcements. Chairman Galloway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet at noon Thursday to discuss the following bills: House Bill 83, Bond Real Liquor License; House Bill 68, Municipal Officer Citation Authority; House Bill 63, Public Works Contracts, Resident Preferences 2.
Thank you, Chairman Galloway. Chairman Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to re-refer House Bill number 16 to Committee number 2, Appropriations.
Objection is referred. Re-referred. Chairman Lannan.
Mr. Speaker, your Judiciary Committee number 1 will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock to consider House Bill 110, Crime of Harboring Sex Offenders. House Bill 75, Sexual Molestation of Children Penalty, and House Bill 140, Sex Offenses.
Thank you, Chairman Lannan. Chairman Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services will meet in 5 minutes at 4:30 to consider House Bill 8, Select Committee on Developmental Programs, and House Bill 36, Child Immunizations.
Thank you, Chairman Osborne. Chairman Hageman.
Mr. Speaker, there will be a meeting tomorrow morning at 7:30 in room 302. We meet with 400 people at the national level and the state level. This meeting is open to anyone, and it's an ag committee meeting, but it's at 7:30 tomorrow morning. And then, because that moved us out of our regular time, we set up a meeting for noon tomorrow up in our regular room, and we'll hear House Bill 25, Cost of Care Bonding; House Bill 24, Predator Management Program; and House Bill 39, Long-Term Livestock Support.
Chairman Phil, thank you, Chairman Hageman.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, will be right now on the agenda, and we're told forward to discuss House Bill 27, Grants, re-referred; House Bill 80, Medical Reimbursement for Obstetric Services, re-referred; House Bill 81, Medical Malpractice Insurance Account, re-referred; and tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in room 204, we will hear House Bill 91, the Mental Health and Substance Abuse Appropriations.
Thank you, Chairman Phil. Chairman Rosberger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, will meet immediately upon adjournment to hear House Bill 1,039,000,000 School Finance Amendments. Also, on February 16, 2006, in room 302 of the State Capitol Building, session 1, at the noon recess on the recalibration level, and also session 2 upon adjournment for your education of the recalibration model. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Chairman Wasserberger. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. General File 420.
Will be House Bill 31, House Bill 61, House Bill 51, House Bill 11, and other bills that may come that may be reported in by tomorrow morning. And Mr. Speaker, with that, I move the House adjourned until tomorrow, Thursday, February 16th at 10 a.m.
Chairman Edwards? Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. You heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. House is adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.